We're reading this evening from the book of John, John's Gospel, and chapter 1. And if you've got a Bible with you in your home this evening, then we encourage you to join with us as we read. If not, listen, just you listen along as we read publicly from God's Word. There's no more inspired a book, and we're glad this Word is an inspired Word. It's an infallible Word. It's an unbreakable Word. It's a certain Word. It's a sure Word. And we're glad that no matter what happens in this world, that we have one thing that we can bank our lives firmly upon, and that is the Word of God. And so tonight we are just going to take these few moments and we're going to read together a few verses from John chapter 1, and we're reading together from verse 1. And this is what the scriptures teach and reads. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was the light, was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. And there was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Verse 13 reads, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we'll end our reading there this evening, and we know indeed that God will indeed bless his inspired Word to our hearts. We're going to still our hearts as we just turn for our remaining moments around God's Word, and let's just pray God might be pleased to bless that Word to our hearts. Father, here we find ourselves now around the Word of God, and we pray, Lord, that you would use your Word as a means, and as a means to help. We pray in especially now tonight for some unsaved soul, maybe an unsaved husband or wife, father or mother or son or daughter. But Lord, we pray in especially, Lord, the Spirit of God would even take a hold of them in their own homes. And Lord, what a lovely place for somebody to come to find Christ Jesus. Maybe sitting in their favorite chair or sitting around their dinner table, wherever they might be, just watching and just there in that very place, that you, by your Spirit, you convict them and you bring them to saving faith in Christ Jesus. And Lord, what a beautiful memory to have that in that very spot, some soul would say, in that very spot of my living room, that's the place where I found the Savior in a Sunday night in August in 2020. Father, Lord, we need you to do this work, and we cannot do it, but we cast ourselves back to you, and we, even Lord, we're asking you, in spite of who we are, in spite of, as you're part of your body, the Church of Christ, in spite of times what we are like, we pray that you would work, and that you would be glorified, and that you would be magnified. We commit ourselves now to you, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you want a little theme for this evening's Bible reading, I'm simply going to call it the greatest news ever told. And you read about it here in John chapter 1. And we read about it here, and I'm really going to focus very simply upon verses 11 and 12. When John records for us these words, he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. The greatest news that a man ever heard. Well, within this greatest news, I'm going to try and break these couple of verses into four simple little parts. I'm going to tell you first about the greatest trip that, dare I say, was ever made. The greatest trip. I'm going to tell you secondly about the greatest tragedy. Thirdly, the greatest transaction. And fourthly, the greatest transformation. Greatest trip. Now, every one of us know what it's like to go on a trip, whether it was in our childhood days or even now, as some of us, as we've grown into adulthood, and maybe some of us have maybe got a little bit older, are into now senior years. But we can all look back to trips that we have made along life's journey. Maybe it was a childhood dream that we had to be in a specific place to see a specific person. And maybe our parents went about all doing all their bits and bobs to keep it all secret. Then one day, lo and behold, they revealed to us that this trip is going to take place, and we're going to go and see a specific person, and we're going to see a dream fulfilled. Well, undoubtedly, way back in the year 1969, they reckoned within history, up to that particular time, this, they said, was the greatest trip that man had ever made. For those of you who might remember, maybe not necessarily remember, it's very hard to remember things that happened in 69. Some of us weren't even about in 69, but what I'm going to say to you is that the date in 69 was the 21st of July. The man's name who'd be written in history forever was his name was Neil Armstrong. And if you put Neil Armstrong along with the 21st of July in 1969, you'll have come across what human society thought was the greatest trip that man ever made. It was a trip whereby man left Earth and arrived in the moon. And then on that day, he would walk on the moon. And men said it would be impossible. And said that such a thing could not happen. And yet such a thing happened. And you can only imagine the excitement. You can only imagine the excitement in Armstrong whenever he would step out of that space shuttle, whatever it was he was on, and he was to set his foot upon the moon, and man, and it was being recorded, and you could just imagine throughout all, we've seen snippets of what it was like as people were aghast as what would happen and what would take place, and some say this was the greatest ever trip that was ever made. I'm going to say to you today, it was a very important trip. It was a very important learning experience, but it was not the greatest trip ever made by man, because the greatest trip that has ever been made, good folk, was the trip whenever God the Father sent God the Son to this world. Because it says here in John chapter 1 and verse 11, it says, He came unto His own. And so the Bible reminds us that here was the Savior made this journey from heaven to earth. In fact, we're told in the scriptures, we see the descent of Christ, and whereby he would come to this world. We see the fulfillment of that in Isaiah chapter 7. It was prophesied of when the prophet would say, Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Jesus. And that word Jesus simply means Emmanuel, God with us. So here was God in the flesh coming into society, coming into this world by making this what I'm going to call, you could call it a miraculous journey or a great trip, whatever way you want to put it, but I'm going to tell you something this evening, good folks. What we find here is that God came to where we were and where we are for one purpose and one purpose only. And let me say to you, because he wanted to display his love toward us, but also, secondly, he wanted to display the evidence of this love by the sacrifice of himself upon the cross at Calvary. We all know the Christmas story. We all know what Isaiah the prophet would say, and Isaiah would also say in chapter 9, For unto us a son is born, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And yet he cared enough, folks. This is the wonderful thing about the gospel this evening. Can I tell you something? We're not preaching about a dead Savior or a dead God or someone that maybe did live and died and that's it, end of story. We speak of one who was born, who lived in eternity, was born into this world at what we know as the virgin birth. He lived his life, had an immensely cruel death. 3 days later, he would be buried, and 3 days later, he would rise triumphantly from the grave in resurrection. And the Bible says he would ascend back into the Father's right hand, and there he would be forevermore at the Father's right hand, sitting at the Father's side. And whenever we see this, folks, he cared. God the Father cared enough, and Christ the Son cared enough to come into this sinful world. Listen to what Paul writes in Galatians. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Notice his ascent. Notice secondly, I'm going to say his desire, Christ's desire. So you say whenever Christ was here on earth, what was his desire? Like, had he his own You mean we know what desires are like. We know what fleshy desires are like. We know what desires are like, that sometimes, even as for those of us here, the people of God, desires that take us away from God, and then there are those desires that God puts in our hearts to draw us out after God. But God the Son had desires, and this is what he says. This is what his desire was. John 6:38. He says, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. So we see his descent. We see his desire. Philippians 3 says, and being found in the appearance as of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And so here we find, folks, this miraculous journey, this great trip that God's Son made on our behalf. We see his descent to earth and the fulfilling of the prophecies that would tell us of things that are yet to happen. But ultimately as well, we see his desire in coming to this world. And that was primarily to do the will of the Father. And the will of the Father, folks, was for him that he might bear our sins, my sins, your sins. Now get that now, precious soul. We pray that the Spirit of God might stamp this truth in upon your heart. The same way as I take a little pen and I mark my page, and it's marked there now. It's marked. May, dear soul, the Spirit of God mark your heart tonight for the sake of the gospel. And mark it clearly and plainly, showing you clearly that you need Christ Jesus, and that God the Father loved you so much that he sent his only Son to die in your place. Let me say, secondly, not just was there this greatest trip, but the Bible says he came unto his own. And then it says these words, and his own received him not. I'm going to call it the greatest tragedy. Now, can I tell you something? If you just lift your news after this service is over, go onto the BBC app, and you'll read of tragedies that have happened in the United Kingdom, in our own province within this last year. I said 48 hours. Within this last 24 hours, it was just noticed that there were, it's either at 3 a.m. last night in England, it was either four or else three young men drove into the side of a house in the middle of the night and sadly ushered out into eternity. What a tragedy, good folks. What a tragedy for them families that are left behind to sadly try and come to terms with their loss. In our own community where we live out in Tobermore, what's known as the 5 Mile Strait, a man who was on the rich list, I don't know what the rich list is called, but there's a rich list, and on it he was valued at £50 million. Sadly, I think it was in papers yesterday, in the Belfast Telegraph and the Newsletter, this man, him and his wife were involved in a car accident on the 5 Mile Strait just outside Tobermore. And sadly, he was ushered out into eternity, and his dear wife, I think it's her name's Anne, is tonight in hospital, as the doctors work with her and so forth. Maybe you could remember that lady, that God would graciously draw near and touch her body, but what a tragedy. Folks, what a tragedy. Folks, there are things that happen in life, occasions that happen in life, sad things, and they leave an impact that, like, significant things happen, and you can even remember the very place you were whenever you heard the news. The year was 1997, and Karis and I, this was just the year before we were married, we were at the Faith Mission Bible College there as single workers for the Edinburgh. We were there for the Faith Mission, what's known then as Pilgrims Meetings, but was also now known as Workers Meetings. I remember I was just, if any of you have ever been at the Faith Mission Bible College, and for those of you who haven't, there's a long corridor down toward the dining room, and the dining room is on the left, and the lecture hall is on the right. And just at the, I was coming, walking up out of the lecture hall, and it was, I can't remember if it was Karis or someone else said to me, did you hear the news? Princess Diana was killed last night in a car accident in Paris. And I can still remember the place where I got the news. The tragic news, when virtually some called her, the Queen of Hearts. She just stole the hearts of people. And people, what a tragedy. It moved not just our nation, but it moved parts of the world to weep over a woman that they'd never met before, they'd never spoken to, but somehow she just had a special place in their hearts. What a tragedy. So we watched as they brought the coffin down through London, and her two boys, two young lads walking behind, and Muller had gone into eternity. Folks, all of these tragedies are heartbreaking. All of these tragedies are heartbreaking. And yet here I want to tell you from the scripture of another tragedy. And it's not one of, dare I say it, physical death, but one of spiritual death, which is far more serious. Because here we see John record for us in John 1:11, Christ Jesus came unto his own, that was the Jews. And then John says, and his own received him not. Could it be tonight as you sit in your home that you are just like these tragic people in John 1:12 that made this tragic choice of life? And up to now, that's exactly what you're doing. Up to now, that's exactly what you are choosing not to follow after Christ. Folks, let me say something to you. Where would this tragedy lead them? Well, I'm going to say to you, it would ultimately mean rejection. And I have no doubt, as you attend Belize, I'm not saying I'm 100% certain, but I'm 99% certain that there's no one here and you want to reject, if you attend this meeting house, that you want to reject this message. But so that's exactly what you're doing. Maybe you're tuned in tonight from somewhere else, not necessarily from the Ballymena area or from our community of Ulster, but maybe you're tuned in from some other part of, dare I say, England, Scotland or Wales or even further afield. Can I tell you something to your soul? The tragedy would be in your life if you reject Christ Jesus. Listen, what did they reject? They rejected the promises that would be fulfilled. Remember how that in Genesis, the promise that would be fulfilled in Genesis was, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and he shall bruise thy head, and you shall bruise his heel. It was the prophecy and the promise that God the Father had promised even to Adam and Eve and told the serpent, listen, there's coming a day I'm going to send a deliverer, a savior, and that savior will crush your head. Thank God that savior came, and he came in the form of his only son, and his name is Christ Jesus. They rejected the fulfillment of the promises, but they rejected the possibility of fellowship. Because in Isaiah, remember in Isaiah the prophet would say in 53, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. Luke says for us in Luke 9, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised on the third day. Listen, folks, what Christ longed to do was whenever he came to his own, that he might bring them into fellowship, not only with himself, but fellowship with the Father. And that would mean fellowship. That would mean more than just fellowship and friendship. Intimacy. Whereby that they could have communion directly with the Father. And yet they would reject this. Time want to say tonight, folks, there are promises that you that are yours to claim tonight, if only you will but turn from your sin. Not only are there promises, but there is fellowship for you to experience tonight, if only you will turn from your sin. And I'm going to say to you, thirdly, not just are there promises, and not just is there fellowship, but I'm going to tell you, there's forgiveness to be had for you tonight, if only you will turn from your sin. Imagine that, forgiveness now. You can't buy it, you can't earn it, you can't work to attain it, but thank God by faith you can experience it and know it. Because here, not just would they not only would these people reject the promises, and not just would they reject the possibility of fellowship, but also they would reject the provision of deliverance from sin. Because the purpose of Christ's coming was to be the deliverer. He was the means. He was the means of bridging the gap between us and God. Can I tell you something? Karis and I travel. We're not long back from Yorkshire, but whenever we travel from Yorkshire, England. From England or Scotland to Northern Ireland, there is a means of getting across. In fact, there are two means. One is by air and the other is by sea. Now, if I want to take the dog with me or Jess, then the reality is there's no point in me booking an airplane flight because I'd have to leave the girl at home. But if I want to take her with me, That's the dog now, in case you're wondering who the girl is. In case you think, just to get that clarified now. The wife, Karis, not here to keep me right. But if I want to take Karis and the dog, should I say, my girl, or Jess, can I say this to you? I have to take the boat. That is my only means of transport from Belfast to Kinraghan. That's my means of getting across. Right? No point in me buying myself a wee paddle boat because I'll run out of puff halfway over. No point in me likely buying myself a wee dinghy of a thing for like the old thing. I'll go down to the bottom before I get halfway over. So I book myself a ticket. We book us a ticket on the boat and we get a time and a date and we make sure we're there in time. And then we drive onto the boat and we sit there and we relax the whole way across the water and one of the seats on Stena Line. And then the call comes, says, make your way back to your car. And then we drive off and lo and behold, we drive on down through Scotland, England. That is my means of getting across, folks. It's my only means if I want to bring RGS with me. Can I tell you something, dear friend? There is only one means of making your way from earth to heaven and being certain that heaven will be your home. And that means is Jesus Christ. There's no other means. And there's no other way. John 14 makes that clear. And for the benefit of those of you who don't know what John 14 tells us. In verse 6 it says these words. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. There's this greatest trip that has ever been made. Christ coming to earth. This greatest tragedy, the people he came for. No, no, no. We don't want you. We don't want your message. Dear soul, if you sit in your home tonight, that place that is extremely familiar surroundings to you, with all the things around you that you want around you, and if you reject Christ, can I tell you so? You will die a very miserable person. And eternity will be a very lonely place for you if you leave this scene of time without knowing Jesus as your deliverer. Let me say to you thirdly and very quickly, I notice there's this great transaction. And whereby it says these words, it says, but as many, verse 12, it says, so he says, he came unto his own received not. And then it came primarily for the Jews. Came primarily for his own people. But then this goes far further than just the Jews, because this goes to the Gentiles, those people that the Jews thought were unclean, dirty. It's like old pigs. We don't want anything to do with the Gentiles. They're unclean. The Bible says he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And he says these words, verse 12, but as many as received him. But as many. Listen, so that as many means you and that as many means me. That as many means all the folk that attend Believe Baptist, whether it be on a regular basis or on an irregular basis. That many means all the folk of Ballymena. That as many means all the folk of Mid-Ulster, of County Antrim, of Mid-Ulster, of County Tyrone. You name it, the list goes on. Head across the whole of Ireland. But as many in all of Ireland, but as many in all of Scotland, but as many in all of Wales, as many in all of England, as many in all of Europe, as many of all of America, as many of all the world, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. Now get that now. You're not excluded tonight. You're not excluded. You might feel neglected in this world. You might feel as if nobody loves you in this world. You might feel sadly life has dealt you a very hard hand, a very difficult life, and it's been tough on you. But let me say something to your soul. You are loved tonight with an everlasting love. You are loved more than you'll ever know. And that love was demonstrated for you, and thank God was demonstrated for me, a filthy sinner, a hell-deserving sinner. That love was demonstrated for me at Calvary. Listen, what do we know about this great transaction? This great transaction is when a man comes in simple faith and he puts his trust in this one and only Savior of sinners, and his name is Christ Jesus. What do we know about salvation? Well, salvation is the means whereby men can be saved. It's this means whereby, where we sung, I remember as a child, growing up on Money Moor, and we're grateful for Sunday school teachers and Good News Club teachers and what we call now Holiday Bible Club, people that were involved in that. We chorus, "No, you can't get to heaven without salvation. No, you can't get to heaven without salvation. And I think it goes on something like, "Just believe and receive salvation. And a pardon you will receive, salvation. Salvation. Salvation, dear soul, can I note these couple of thoughts to you, is needed by you. Is needed by you. You need it tonight. You might not think, but you need it. Because if you want to pass from death to life, you need it. If you want to move from the broad way, which every one of us outside of Christ are on, doesn't matter how religious you are, or how good you are, or how kind you are, if you want to move from the broad way onto the narrow way, you need it tonight. You need it. It's needed by me. But we are all, the Bible says, we all, nobody excluded now, we are all as on, like an unclean thing. And all our righteousness are as filthy rags. That's why we need it. Because we're all guilty. We've all broken God's law. You might not know much about the law of God. You might not know much about the Bible. Dare I say it, you might even be tuning in online, and we might be, as you listen in, you might say, "But sure, I don't know what it says in the Bible." Let me tell you very simply what the gospel is. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You're a sinner, I'm a sinner, so Christ came to save you, and Christ came to save me. It's needed by you. Can I say something to you? It is available to you tonight. It's available to you tonight. The scripture says clearly and biblically, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Get that now. That means you, and praise the Lord, it means me tonight. It means me. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Yes, it is available to you tonight, and thank God it is needed by you tonight. But I want to say this to you now, dear soul. Be very careful, because this same salvation can be neglected by you tonight. The scripture tells us in the book of Acts, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved." In the book of Hebrews it says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" This great transaction can take place. And thank God this evening it can take place in your life. And I'm going to say to you as I finish, then there's this, an even greater transaction, something greater than a transaction, because there's a great transformation. Surely there's a trip that was made, God the Son coming to earth. There's a tragedy that is painted for us. The people that he came for, they reject him. But thank God there is what we mentioned here, this transaction. "But as many as received him," you've got to take him tonight. Then this, it says these words, "To them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe in his name." People's lives transformed. Maybe tonight you're saying, "But I can't change." You're dead right, you can change. But the wonderful thing is, God can change you if only you let him. See, in the Bible, the scripture is very clear. It talks about two kinds of people, those who are in the family and those who are out of it. You either hate or you don't have it. You either got it or you don't. You either know Christ or you don't know. Which are you tonight? And yet this transform, if you say to me, "Well, Nigel, you may be in your home and you're not saying, maybe you're just listening. You're not talking much, you're maybe just listening." You may say, "Oh, but Nigel, I in your mind, in your heart, I know I'm not ready." Can I tell you something? This great transformation can take place in your life tonight, if by faith you will but come. Listen, admit your need this evening. Admit your need. The old hymn, right? Do you remember the wee woman, the man who beat upon his breast, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner"? Be merciful to me, a sinner. Admit your need. Can I say something? Accept him as what and what he has done on your behalf. Remember the Philippian jailer. What must I do to be saved? And the reply, the man said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Admit your need. Accept the Son. Believe him and rest in him. Don't believe him and then start fretting and worrying and think, well, has he really saved me? Listen, the Bible says if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Listen, the scripture is very clear. Romans tells us the just shall live by faith. You come and you take him, ask him to be your Savior, believe that he has come, and rest in that great Bible truth that we live by faith and that we've called, he has answered. And can I say something to you? Confess him as Lord. Tell all other people. Don't keep it to yourself. If you have put your trust in Christ Jesus, dare I say it, maybe even during lockdown. Maybe lockdown has brought an immense amount of fear to your life. I'm amazed at the amount, sometimes even amazed at the amount of Christians that are terribly fearful. But folks, I don't want you to think I'm being rude. Please don't think I'm being rude. But for as believer, what have we to be fearful of as a child of God? All that's going to happen to us is we're going to be, if something happens to us and we end up leaving this scene of time, we're going to a better place. We're going to a place that the Bible says whose builder, a city whose builder and maker is God alone. We have nothing to fear. Why? Because God is with us, good people. God is with. I know it doesn't mean that we're to be careless or to be silly with things, but the fact is, folks, we have nothing to fear. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. Our lives are not to be, as the people of God, gripped by fear about this COVID-19 or about the future. Listen, our future is in the hands of God. So your future can be in the hands of God tonight. And most of all, listen, your home can be with God tonight if only you will but come and let this great transaction take place. Listen, that if thou shalt believe in thine heart, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, listen to what the scripture says, thou shalt be saved. What do I have to be saved from? Your sin. Why do I need my sin dealt with? Because your sin separates you from God. Why? What's so important about God that he will keep me out of heaven? Because the Bible says he's holy, just and pure and undefiled. And he says that nothing that defileth shall ever enter the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God, the Bible says, is a place where there will be no darkness, a place where God himself is the light, a place where there will be no sorrow, no more death, no more pain, and no more parting way, because that place is heaven, and it's a place that has been prepared for a people that have got prepared on earth. Would you not prepare tonight? Would you not prepare? And then, thank God, you see, if we admit our need, accept the Son, by faith believe and rest in him, confess Christ our Savior, thank God the Spirit himself, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity comes to dwell in our lives. And we, from that moment on, we are never on our own. Friends might leave us. Family might forsake us. Our work colleagues might mock us. But can I tell you something? Never, no never, will you ever be in your own again? Because God gives this promise, I will never leave you. Now, John 1:11-12. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power, or the right, or the authority to become the sons of God, even to them, thank God, that believed on his name. Now I'm asking you tonight, I'm asking you in the name of, not in my name or in the name of Believe Baptist, but I'm asking you in the name of Jesus, would you not come tonight and believe in the one, put your trust in the one who has given his life for you, that you might be pardoned, forgiven, enjoy fellowship and walk in the freedom that no longer are you bound by the devil and his soul snares, but that thank God you have been liberated by the great emancipator to walk in light and to enjoy what John says in John 10, life and life more abundant.